You are listening to the One Desire Church podcast, a culture of faith, hope, and love.
Let's do this together. I am not what's been done to me, but what Jesus has done for me. I am not what I do, but what Jesus has done. What I do doesn't determine who I am. I follow Jesus, and as his follower, he determines what I do. Thank you. And this morning, I just want to take a little bit and focus on Jesus and a cry. Jesus and a cry. If you have your scriptures with you, you can open up to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. Traditionally, this Sunday in the church calendar, the church year, is considered Palm Sunday. And it's a time when we remember the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem that week before the Passover, before the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior. And I want to just read that scripture here from Mark chapter 11, and then we're just going to talk a little bit about a couple different ways that we cry in our lives. Mark chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 1 and go through 11. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem of Bethage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.'" And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they told them that what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for being with us right now. And wherever we need to know that you are with us, we just right now just pause and welcome your touch in our lives. I thank you that you have created each of us uniquely and with ways that we receive, and we know that you are with us and that we are loved by you. And I just say thank you for that this morning. We just open up our hearts, we open up our minds, we open up our bodies to receive what you have to share with us. Thank you that you're always sharing. Father, remind us to always be in a posture and a position to receive. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verse 9 and 11 gives us an interesting word, and it's a word that can't be translated into the English language, and so what they did was they transliterated it, and that is the word Hosanna. Would you all read this with me? Mark 11, verse 9 and 10. "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Hosanna in the highest. That word Hosanna appears in one of the Psalms. It's a quote right out of Psalm 118. If you have opportunity to take some notes, I encourage you to write this down. Psalm 118, verse 25 and 26. Let's read this together. "Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord." This morning I just want to ask, Have you seen someone cry this past week? Maybe have you cried this past week? So I got the phone call that one of my kids had been injured and had cut his head open. And my wife's voice was kind of trembly on the other end. And she said, so-and-so was playing on the playground and he hit his head and he has a big gash just right above his eye. And a nurse just looked at it. She thinks that he probably needs to get some stitches. Theodosia wasn't crying, but I heard that little bit of a quiver in her voice. You know what that quiver means? If you've ever heard that quiver, maybe you're speaking and all of a sudden something is touching you deep down inside, touching you in a sad way, and you start to connect with that feeling, that emotion deep down inside, and you start to quiver. And so my response immediately was, I'll be there. Give me just a little bit of time. And so I got there and took him to the ER, got stitched up. The nurse that did the prep and then the doctor sewed it up, and then the nurse came back, and the nurse's response was, I didn't hear any cries. Didn't hear any cries. And my kid said, well, it didn't hurt. It didn't hurt. There was some fear. There was some uncertainty in what is this going to feel like? What is this going to look like? What is going to happen here in this moment? But that initial pain, that initial suffering of hitting and cutting and realizing there's blood running down his face, all of that brought the tears. But once he had cried it out, and once he had then connected to something strong in his life that he finds hope, and he finds peace, and he finds love in, everything's okay. So that touches me deep down inside. Because the children of Israel were in a time in their life when Psalm 118 was written that they were hurting and in pain. And their cry was, Hosanna, Hosanna, save. Save us, save us, save us. There's those moments in my life when I am hurting and I'm in pain and I need to cry it out. Save in this situation, save in this moment. I need to know that I am not, what? Alone. I need to know I'm not alone. And what's amazing is that moment of voicing that, whether that's my heart cry or that is tears coming down my cheeks cry. There's a freedom when my cry is to one who is greater than I am and stronger than I am, and able to bring peace and calm in the midst of my pain and my suffering and my sorrow. So Friday afternoon, I watched my kid cry it out, express the pain, and then through that expression, connected to a source in his life of stability and of strength in his life. The children of Israel, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna was not just a cry of pain and sorrow and God, I need you to answer right now, but it was also a victory cry. Jesus, as he comes into the holy city, is crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna. And it wasn't an expression of fear or dread or concern. It was an expression of God is saving us. God has heard us. God is delivering us in this moment. Here comes the Messiah, the one that we've been waiting for and looking for. The cries that they had cried over and over and over and over again as they practiced their liturgy, their week in and week out, connecting with God and expressing what the scriptures instructed them to express towards God, their heart's desire, their deep pain, seeing that God was finally showing up in a way that they were able to physically touch and see and celebrate. When was it the last time you saw someone cry or you cried? How was that Hosanna moment, God save in this situation? How did that transform from I need saved to I am being saved? How did that transition? How did that change? Our eyes are fascinating gifts from God to be able to see. But what's interesting is there's these little ducts, these little places within our eyes that leak every once in a while. Anybody have a leaky tear duct? I like to give Theodosia a hard time. I think your tear ducts are a little bit leaky today. And there's different things that make us tear up. There are allergies, dust, etc. That cold blast of air conditioning air when we walk into the supermarket that hits us right in the face on a really hot summer day here in Texas. There are things that bring water to our eyes. What's fascinating is they're able to look and to put in a test tube your tears and to see which tears are cleaning tears and which tears are emotional heart tears. It's fascinating. I want to share a quick video with you about that this morning, the tears that we cry.
Whether it's during a sad movie you swore you'd never tear up in, or a heart-wrenching breakup following your first love, crying may seem like a strange physical response to your emotional turmoil. Why do we start the waterworks when we feel really sad? Is there a biological advantage or purpose other than washing your face or streaking your mascara? Well, crying doesn't only happen when you're emotional. There are actually three types of tears. Basal tears are perpetually lubricating your eyes, keeping them from drying out, while reflex tears act in response to an irritant like onions or dust. They begin a chain reaction, releasing hormones from the brain, which then trigger a tear response from the glands in the eyelids, and these tears help to get rid of the irritant. But tears of sadness? Strangely, this leaky face phenomenon is exclusive to humans, with a couple different theories as to why. And one is strikingly similar to the reason we blush, which we described in a previous video here. In many cases, emotional tears are able to act as a signal to others of our genuine sadness or distress. That's not always easy to fake. Your tears blur your vision, essentially handicapping any aggressive or defensive actions, sending those nearby a signal of need, appeasement, or attachment. From an evolutionary perspective, this increases communication with those close to you and ultimately your chance of survival. Some experiments have even taken photos of people crying and made copies with the tears digitally removed. Not surprisingly, people rated the pictures with tears to be more sad, while the ones without were often confused with puzzlement, awe, or other expressions. But what about tears of joy? Well, perhaps they aren't so different. After all, tears of happiness may still be used as social signals for how we feel and are thought to strengthen bonds between people. Also, both emotions see activity in similar regions of the brain, such as the hypothalamus and basal ganglia, which just happen to be connected to your tear glands. Another theory suggests that crying is one of your body's mechanisms to literally shed your stress. Interestingly, reflex tears and emotional tears have very different compositions. Emotional tears have much higher levels of proteins, in particular some called adrenocorticotropic hormones, which are linked to high stress levels. And some say crying helps to release these stress chemicals from the body. But the research here is limited and not yet conclusive. So go on, have a good cry, let the world know how you feel, and potentially let out that stress.
Jesus, as he came into the city, heard the cries, Hosanna, Hosanna. God has heard us. God is saving us. He hears the cry. And then he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And scripture tells us that he invited his disciples, he invited the followers, those first kingdom men and women, to participate in prayer, to meet with God in that special place and in that special time. Jesus goes off just a little ways. This portrait shows what happened. Jesus came back. Can't you all stay awake a little bit longer? Scripture tells us that Jesus sweat drops of blood, this idea of the pain and the sorrow and the agony of what he was preparing himself mentally, emotionally, and spiritually for, brought this expression that can only be described by drops of blood being sweat out from his face. A cry in the city streets, a cry in private. A cry of victory, a cry of rejoicing, a cry of this is going to hurt. Your cries, where is your heart right now? There's a time to express the cry that Jesus heard in the street, Hosanna, that cry of victory. And then there is the time of crying, which is preparation for the work that God has for each of us to do on the flip side of what we are experiencing in our lives. The cry. This week, we remember Christ's death and his burial and his resurrection. On the cross, what did Jesus cry? Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? There are moments in our lives when our cry is victorious. Our cry is, I'm uncertain about what's going to happen. This is going to hurt. And then there are those moments where we cry, God, where are you? But that wasn't the only cry that Jesus spoke on the cross. And this is where I want each of us to go this morning, is that there are times on the inside that we are crying because we're hurting and we're in pain, but then there is a process of coming to the one who hears our cry, and Scripture says, holds the tears that we cry in a bottle. They are not forgotten. They do not go unnoticed or untreasured by our Heavenly Father. Jesus on the cross cried out, it is what? It is finished. It is finished. It's finished. It's over. This morning you may be in a place of in the streets crying, Hosanna, God saves, God is with me. We may be in a place this morning where we have gone into the garden and we feel alone and we feel separated and we're uncertain and it's intense and it's dark. It is finished. There are times that we find ourselves suffering for others in our lives because we've been called to lay down our lives for those around us as we have picked up and carried our cross. And in those moments too, it is finished. So what we're going to do is we're all going to stand. And we're going to thank Jesus in our own hearts and in our own ways for the cry and the cries that last week on this earth that Christ experienced, and how each of those cries fit into our story and our experience. As we experience our own cries and we meet with those who are also crying, as we see that there are those that feel separated, distant from God, and need to know that there is reconciliation that has happened, and there's wholeness, there's that finished work of Jesus in their lives. But sometimes we have to cry it out first. We cry it out so that we can connect to what is our source of peace and our source of strength, our source of love. So like a little boy who's getting stitches can say, the pain was over. It hurt initially, but life was there. Just take a moment and just acknowledge where we are in Jesus' story today. Jesus, I thank you for the Hosanna that is in each of our hearts and our minds right now. Maybe we don't even know how to cry out and what to cry for. That's salvation. But we thank you that you have put a cry in each of our hearts, and we just welcome that growing cry of Hosanna. We thank you, Jesus, for your death on the cross so that we could cry Hosanna in a new way that had never been spoken or experienced from the heart, from the mind, and from the body. Father, we just open up our hearts right now to whatever cry you want to put in our lives, whatever cry you would have us to acknowledge. We want to cry, Hosanna. May the one who inspired the Holy Scriptures, inspired his children, the children of Israel, to cry out, Hosanna in the highest. May that same creator, sustainer, giver of all life, give each of us a hallelujah, each of us a Hosanna in the highest in our lives. May that Hosanna lead us into the arms of our good and loving God. We pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the One Desire Church podcast. For information on gathering times and how you can support the podcast, please visit onedesirechurch.org.